Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
I had a really good idea for the intro.
What was your idea?
No, you go first.
No, you.
I insist. And this is Stranger Still.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Yeah, no matter what day it is.
Well,
it's Wednesday right now.
It's Wednesday somewhere. Is that a saying people say?
Yeah, Jimmy Buffet sings about it.
Yeah.
I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood.
And this is Stranger Still.
It's a show where what's our thing again?
We answer strange questions that you never thought to ask.
I legitimately forgot. That's not a bit to get you to say it. I just forgot. Today, we've got a kind of a strange one, and I'm going to ask you how you came up with this idea in just a little bit, but first I want to tell a little story, which is that on Monday, I was driving to work, and I was listening to The Flophouse, which is one of our favorite podcasts, and they were talking about movies that are like the same thing. And I thought about like how sometimes movies that are the same premise will come out around the same time, like Bug's Life or Ants or Deep Impact and Armageddon or The Illusionist and The Prestige. And I was thinking, man, I really want to do an episode on that, but I have no idea what it's called. So I don't know how to present the idea to John. And then later in the day,
On the same day,
John sends me this article to Wikipedia for Multiple Discovery, which is our topic today.
So we've multiply discovered that we wanted to do this episode.
That we wanted to do an episode on Multiple Discovery.
Yep. And the way I found it was listening to a podcast.
Was it Sawbones?
It was Sawbones.
I just listened to that one today.
Thank you, Justin McElroy, and thank you, Sydney McElroy.
Yeah. Because they talked about it. I think it was because they were talking about the pap smear and how some other people were working on trying to figure out how to identify cervical cancer.
Yep.
And we all know the pap smear test. It was Peps Nicola, I think is his last name or something
yep.
like that. And he had studied ways to identify cervical cancer based on the cells of the uterus. And other people were studying it as well and came to the same conclusions that he did around the same time, that if these cells look different than healthy cells, then they most certainly have cervical cancer.
Yeah. And they're actually both up for a Nobel Prize.
They're up for it?
They were being considered for it, both of them.
Oh.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out who to give it to because it was debated on who discovered it first.
Yeah, and that's Multiple Discovery, and it's really frustrating, I imagine, for these people. So Multiple Discovery is, or you can call it simultaneous invention, is the idea that a large percentage of major scientific discoveries or inventions are found or invented independently by multiple groups of people, more than one group of people, at relatively the same time. So like within years of each other. Sometimes it might take like a decade for them to get there, but it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's this weird phenomenon. And I thought the easiest way to talk about it was with films. So I thought that we could bring in the whole idea with films too, because it actually is a separate thing called twin films. And just to set the stage, we'll talk about that for a second. So these are movies that come out at about the same time, and they either explore the same subject material, like in A Bug's Life or Ants or whatever, or they just kind of have the same aesthetic, like Sing or Zootopia that came out last year. They don't explore the same subject material, but they're both goofy movies about, not the goofy movie, but goofy movies about anthropomorphic animals.
Yep.
But I always look at movies that do explore the same subject material. Like one example I found was Observe and Report, which had Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And Paul Blart Mall Cop with Kevin James. They came out within 4 months of each other.
Oh, jeez.
I think Paul Blart came out in January of some year and Observe and Report came out that April. So I look at those kinds of movies and I'm like, how is someone not suing someone?
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of makes sense that maybe in some of these circumstances, Paul Blart got that 4 month like bonus bump,
uh-huh.
and people who aren't really paying much attention because they're busy say, "Oh, I already saw that, didn't I?"
Yeah,
and they don't see the second one.
Seth Rogen, no, I already saw the one with the fat guy, that funny cop guy.
Yeah.
Maybe on a segue. I don't know. But they're...
That's a pretty good segue.
What?
The segue?
Oh, God. I'm really bad at picking up on your segues. It's because their balance is all
weird. It's because their balance is weird, yeah. It's hard to stay on those things.
Right. Yeah. So, specifically when it comes to films, there's a few reasons that legal action isn't pursued. And we'll talk about it again with multiple discovery. But with films, there's a few reasons. So the first one is that we're in a very connected world. And the movies, many of the movies that we want to see are topical. Like in 2012, the movie 2012 came out because we were all worried about December 21st, 2012. When we thought the world was going to end.
So thanks, Mayans.
Thanks, Mayans. So Nicolas Cage was trying to survive at the end of the world. So people look at these, the happenings in our world, and they come up with similar ideas based on what's topical.
Right.
And so they
like mall cops were probably the peak of sexual prowess.
Yeah. Like you see that dad bod and you're like...
Yeah. Mm. It just took her off like a rocket. Like a rocket on a Segway.
Like a rocket on a Segway. So it's possible that people see these kinds of topics and get influenced to write stuff about them. The second thing is that studios might find out that a company is making a certain type of film, and another studio will try to race them just to beat them to the idea and try to cash in on it. Like Batman v Superman came out just before Captain America Civil War, which both explore the heroes within these universes fighting each other, fighting internally.
Yeah, good thing that both of those movies worked out for everybody.
Yeah, for everyone involved. Sorry, Ben Affleck. I don't feel bad for you.
Well, he's still got the Affleck commercials.
I don't think he's involved with those, but...
He does the voice.
No, it's Gilbert Gottfried.
Except no, it's Ben Affleck.
Is it?
Affleck. He was doing an audition, and they said, say your name, and then they just used that clip over
so
and over.
So they turned Ben Affleck into a Pokemon, and he just says his name.
Affleck. Affleck. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want for dinner?
Affleck.
Do you want to go to the theme park?
Geico. I'm
glad that we live in this world of Pokemon insurance companies. So the problem that I have with that is that we knew that all of the Marvel movies were leading up to the Civil War, and DC's like, hey, us too. We can do it as well and also make money. So come see ours as well.
Right. And also there was a whole thing where Iron Man was into wanting to free the slaves, and the other guys weren't into it. That was a real turn in the Civil War. It kind of led up to the negotiations.
Right.
It's history.
Thanks, Abe. Honest Abe. So we call him improv. So I feel like the whole DC and Marvel thing falls into the territory of trying to ride the bandwagon to get some extra cash that you kind of talked about before. Like, oh yeah, I already saw that one. So maybe that's a better example than Marvel versus DC, but like you get two similar looking actors in different movies and they're just like, I don't need to see it again.
This is something different, but it reminds me of when you ask people if they have a Wii U and they say, what's the difference between that and a Wii?
Yeah.
It's just marketing weird.
Yeah. The problem with that is it's within the same company and they're really bad at marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they switched things up, I think.
Yeah. And I always think of, like, after Twilight came out, all these movies were like, oh, we gotta do monster romance movies, too. Like, that dumb Warm Bodies movie. And
that was good.
I didn't like it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Twice?
No.
It's good the second time.
Is it?
Good the first time, too. But it's good the second time.
I'm really confused.
It's a good movie.
I don't know. Okay. I wasn't into it. The last example I have is corporate espionage, which is where like one studio could purchase a script and then that script is secretly sent to another studio. So they like skim the cream off the top of the milk and just make a movie off of the same idea. Is that a bad analogy for a vegan?
Like a Melania Trump speaking from her heart and Michelle Obama's script.
And they used words from My Little Pony, yeah.
Did they?
I think they both did, yeah.
Well, Wonder Dream Magic. It's my favorite show. Is that what it's called?
I don't know, but you better get it right, otherwise my sister-in-law's going to be very mad at you.
My little horsey.
My little
don't
donkey.
You say the right word. Copyrights.
Sorry. So as it turns out, though, the whole point of this episode is that this sort of thing can happen, but with things that actually matter, like the light bulb or calculus. And that's where we get into multiple discovery. So I brought it all around for you, a nice little package. You want to open
tasty.
That up?
Tasty. Yeah, let me get a little zip on. Open that up real nice.
So, multiple discovery. I read this great article, and it seemed to be like someone's thesis paper that they just like posted up on their WordPress site, which sounds shady. They had references. I checked all the references out, and it went to official sources. And the article was called, Are Inventions Inevitable? And the idea of this article was that even if Isaac Newton or Albert Einstein weren't born, we could still have calculus or the theory of relativity or E equals MC squared and all that at a relatively the same time that they came up with it.
Haven't read it? Love it.
Which
already
one?
Love it.
Which one?
All of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely inevitable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there is probably, and we've talked about the existence of life outside of Earth being, like, totally probable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's got to be something similar to us because of multiple discoveries.
Absolutely. I think I would say, in regards to aliens, and I don't even know where we're going to go here this episode, but for people that don't think that there's aliens out there, I feel like that's just irresponsible. Yeah. Like, to think that we're alone in thousands and thousands and thousands of light years worth of space, and we're just the only people, that's so selfish.
Yeah, but where it falls into people being like, no, you're crazy, is because of Hollywood's idea of aliens.
Right, like
aliens
they came like here and they probed us. And, well, yeah, yeah, it could be like just bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
It could be light people. They're just made out of light beams.
Who make people bulbs.
Yeah, they made people bulbs.
How many light people would take the screw in a people bulb? That's rhetorical. Don't answer it. The answer is disgusting and we wouldn't understand
it. So check it out, though. This is where it gets crazy. Because like you said, yes, eventually we're going to get there. But people have put numbers to it. And many times there are a lot of like patent disputes and lawsuits that come out of this, which we'll get into in a second. So the first thing is that the author of this article found a study from 1922 that found 148 different discoveries or inventions that two or more groups of people were working on at about the same time. So even up to 90 years ago, there was 148 that someone came up with a list of. And I went to Wikipedia, and I'm pretty sure it's like way more than that.
So that's in American history that he found this?
I would say human history, probably.
Damn.
Because the list on Wikipedia went all the way back to the 3rd century BCE. And it listed just a crap ton of inventions like this. And we'll play a game later where I'll quiz you on some multiple discoveries.
Cool.
The most innocent way that this can happen is that we as a society recognize a problem, and there's someone smart out there that's like, hey, at nighttime the sun goes down and the only light we have is a lantern and it doesn't really provide a whole lot of light, so I keep stubbing my pinky toe and I wish that I could just, like, I don't know, flip a switch or something, and then I would see my whole room and I wouldn't stub my toe at night.
Right. And then Thomas Edison said, ding! And he's like, oh my God, above your head, what is that? Sketch it, sketch it!
Sketch it, don't lose
sketch it!
Quick!
Don't let it go!
There's that, and then we eventually get something like electricity that we're like, I bet there's a way that we can harness this to get like a miniature sun that we plug into our ceilings, and it creates light in some sort of bulb shape. So, of course, that also implies that there's other technological advances that get us there, which probably involved multiple discovery.
Yeah. And there could have been some, like, Swahili man that said, I'm going to invent the light onion. And it didn't take off. He had a bad marketing team.
Yeah, well, that's because with the onion, you have to bury it underground. That doesn't do a lot of good. So.
Yeah, you got to plug. All light bulbs go up. You ever plug a light bulb into the floor?
Mm-mm.
Not once.
I'm sure someone has.
No, it's impossible.
Oh, that's just not how physics works?
That's not how physics works.
Huh, interesting.
Light comes down from the sky, Nick. From the sun.
You got me there.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that. So this article gave some really good examples of this happening. For example, we all know Alexander Graham Bell that invented the...
Graham cracker.
And...
The bell.
No, he invented the telephone.
Right.
Right. I was going to make a joke.
I heard he also... Like, my friend who told my other friend told me that he invented the graham cracker and the bell. My friend's friend's friend.
Well, they're an idiot because he invented the telephone.
Okay. For our slower listeners, that was a joke about playing the game of telephone.
You're right. I'm trying to think of the last time I played
it. Let me tell you why it's funny. Hold on.
I'm going to punch you right in the cellist.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to look it up.
It's someone that plays the cello. Well, on the same day that Bell filed his patent, a man named Elijah Gray, completely independent of Bell, filed a patent for his telephone.
Yep.
There was 3 hours in between Bell filing his patent and Gray filing his patent.
They raced.
They're like...
like madmen, except that Elijah had the spider webs to get him there a little quicker.
Yeah. Was he the original Spider-Man?
Elijah?
Yeah.
The blue-eyed babe?
No, that was...
Oh.
What's his name? The other one that looks like him.
Elijah Wood.
No! No! The actual guy that...
Oh! Toby McGoby. Yeah.
Toby McGoby. Yeah, you got it wrong. You're thinking of Frodo.
Got it.
So, anyway, there were a couple more examples, but I'm going to save them for the game later. There's a slightly more shady way, I guess, that this can happen, which is that there are a couple of people working on something together, or maybe multiple groups of people, and for whatever reason, they part ways, but independently, they continue studying this subject and eventually come to the same conclusion. And I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, so if I'm wrong, correct me out there, I'm pretty sure that's what happened with the discovery of DNA structure. Like, someone had started working on it, and then it splintered, and then they both kept going at it to figure out the whole double helix thing.
Okay.
Good improv.
I was just thinking about Dino DNA, and you're wearing a Jurassic World shirt, and...
Dino DNA.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then there's the most nefarious way, and actually this might be how DNA happened, but I have no idea. Someone correct me, because I'm in the middle of a podcast, I'm not going to Google it. There might be a situation where someone catches wind that someone is working on something, and they start to begin to work on it so they can try to beat that other person to the punch and get the Nobel Peace Prize or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, similarly, and this still happens today, which is really annoying, is they will patent the idea of something and wait for someone to actually come up with it, and then they'll slap them with a lawsuit saying, hey, I came up with this first. And those are what we call...
jerks.
I was going with patent trolls.
Oh, yeah.
But jerks works, too. Jerks works. So luckily this whole, like...
Jerks Works is actually the name of my patent troll firm.
That's a really good name.
Thank you. I came up with it first.
Yeah? So luckily this shady type of action doesn't happen all that often. This article pointed out another study that was done in 2008 that found 90-98% of patent disputes were within the legal system actually came from two completely independent groups that were working on this one thing without the knowledge of each other at the same time, which is good. That's good, which means like 2-10% of patent disputes weren't one of those less fun ways of multiple discovery.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, we wore the same outfit.
Hey, so one of us has got to change.
We invented the same motorbike.
Oh, this is really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get that? I got mine
from
Amazon.
From Amazon.
So, the moral of this story is that multiple discovery is a really cool phenomenon. And this article cited that I cited comes to the conclusion that invention is inevitable. Like, it's going to happen eventually, which is hard for me to put into context. That's like being back in 1875 and being like, someday the telephone will exist.
If there's a need. So, okay, I say the place where we have to draw the line to be critical thinkers with this is if it's a necessary thing to advance humanity, right?
Yeah.
So you can say you kill Thomas Edison or he was never born.
Yeah, you go back in time and kill him.
You go back, you get rid of him. We'll get a light bulb eventually.
Yeah, we're still going to get
a light bulb. We're still going to get one. But you go back in time, kill Hitler. There's not a need for that kind of hatred. Maybe we don't get a Hitler.
Yeah.
Maybe we're flying around in cars today in 2017 because... our world goes different. I don't know.
Which is, so we're going a lot of places. I don't think we're going to go this episode, but there's this amazing book by Stephen King called 11/22/63. It's also on Hulu. It's a Hulu exclusive show. And if you haven't watched it, you should go watch it, which I don't think anyone's ever said about a Hulu show except for 11/22/63. Like, when's
Adventure
the last...
Time's on there.
No, like, when's the last time someone's like, go watch this Hulu exclusive show?
Oh, yeah.
No, they're like, go watch this Netflix exclusive show.
Right. Kind of got a handle down on the market.
Yeah, kind of a monopoly there. But it's this whole book of the idea of going back and killing JFK, or sorry, preventing the death of JFK, and like all the ramifications that would come from preventing his death. It's really weird. It's wild stuff. It's a really good book, I hear, from my dad, because I watched the TV show, and then I got him the book for his birthday. And I ain't reading that. He's old. He has time for that. Love you, Dad. And I'm written.
You showed books. You sure showed books. Gotta take him down a notch.
Yeah.
Take him back a chapter.
Oh!
Knock him off the shelf, Nick.
Dude.
Time to turn the page on books.
You're on a roll.
Books can't bind me.
I'm just gonna bookend this conversation. What, you got no spine now?
That's it. That was the one.
So I got a little game for you to close things out. I'm gonna give you the names of people that found themselves in a case of multiple discovery, and you're gonna have to guess what they had invented or discovered.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
All right.
Back in 1873...
Whoops. Mix those numbers up.
Back in 1837, Samuel F. B. Morse and Charles Wheatstone both sent a message to the world with this amazing invention.
The wheat cracker. The wheat stone. The wet stone for swords. The Morse code.
Yeah! The electric telegraph.
Boop-a-doo-doo, boop-a-doo.
Someone out there was just really offended by what you just said. You probably said some sort of obscenity.
Ricky Wheat and the Wheat family in Nova Scotia.
All right.
In the late 18th century, John Mitchell and Pierre-Simon Laplace felt the weight of the world. No, the weight of the universe with this discovery.
Gravity with Sandra Bullock.
No. They traveled 100 years in the future and discovered...
The free weight.
No.
For big bones.
No. Black hole theory.
Oh, well, okay. That's fine.
See? Weight of the universe?
Yeah.
I'm giving you clues here.
Yeah, but I just get so excited by the voices.
We're flying right along here. For this next one...
The airplane. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
For this next one, you know what they say. Birds of a feather flock together. In 1939, 40, and 41, Hans von Ohain, Secondo Campini, and Frank Whittle, the boringest name of all, respectively, all came up with this invention that's not the airplane. The bird. They invented birds.
Oh, what a sight to see the birds fly across the sky from the invention of the people that invented it.
You got a better guess than birds?
The kite?
The Chinese invented that.
It's a flying thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. The paper airplane.
The paper
airplane. Which actually existed before the plane, unknown to common knowledge.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, they were just really...
What if we made this really big?
Prophetic.
Said the Wright brothers.
The jet engine.
Yeah.
Which I... Sure. Back in 1939, I had no idea. I guess that makes sense, because World War II was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They were ramping up for the U.S. to join the... I guess these people are probably from other countries. Anyway.
Next one. In 1975, we were happy to find two scientists in Scotland by the name of John Hughes and Hans Klosterlitz, not John Hughes of the movie fame, and a scientist in the U.S., Eric Simon, had discovered this hormone by studying animal brains.
Am I enrapturing you with my voices?
The metabolic hormone?
No.
Testosterone.
No.
Estrogen.
Like three left. Nope. There's only like three more hormones in the body, so.
Adrenaline.
Nope. Also, that wasn't multiple discovery, though. Multiple people discovered adrenaline, but that's not this one. Think of my question.
I lost.
Endorphins.
Yeah.
We were happy that these.
Oh. You should have said, like,
they blew the water right out of their blowholes.
And I would have been like, oh, dolphins.
I'm glad you're telling me
how and to dolphins.
You're telling me how to
right,
structure my questions.
It makes more sense that way.
It definitely does.
You get to end dolphins easier that way.
Right.
And dolphins make me happy. So.
In 1969 and 1970, Dmitry Ivanovich Mendeleev and Julius Lothar Meyer.
They both had three names. That's weird.
Were in their elements when they made their publications on this.
The periodic table of IKEA and elements.
The periodic table of putting furniture together.
No, yeah, you're right. Periodic table of the elements.
Pretty good.
Ding, ding. I think you got
one,
two. You got Morse code, technically.
And dolphins.
And dolphins.
And dolphins make me happy.
They do.
I release dolphins when I...
That's a good way to remember it, kids.
Mm.
Want to recap for me?
Yeah. We're human beings. Yep. We got brains. We use them to come up with things, right?
We do.
Regardless of who's inventing these things, they're going to exist at some point. There's a theory that if you have enough people in a giant population, there's a small percentage that you'll get a genius in that population, right?
Yeah.
So people promote the idea of having more and bigger populations to get more Albert Einsteins and things like that. In some cases, if you have a big enough population, there's a chance you're going to come up with a light bulb, a telephone, or a jet engine.
Yep, or a polio vaccine.
Yep.
That wasn't in here, but that is also one. There's like a million people.
Or Ants, the movie.
Or Ants, the movie. Zootopian Sing.
Thanks, Ants.
Yeah.
Pick up Ants on DVD. No, pick it up on VHS. Treat yourself.
Oh, I thought you were going to go say get it on Blu-ray.
Does it exist on Blu-ray?
I doubt it. I highly doubt it. What a wild ride, John. Am I right?
Boy, howdy.
Boy, and how? Oh, where can people find us?
They can find us in our Facebook group where we get a lot of ideas for upcoming podcasts. And we engage with you, the listener.
Yeah.
Which is stranger still on Facebook.
Just look for it. It's the one that doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tell my friends.
That's our motto.
That's our motto. We changed our slogan.
You can also find us on Twitter at stranger still.
Uh-huh. And our website is strangerstillshow.com where you can go and listen to us, check our show notes. That's about all you can do on there. Sorry.
You can check our show notes. You can listen to podcasts. You can find other platforms to listen to us too on your friend's Android phone.
Yeah. Just go take your friend's Android phone, open up the Google Play Store or whatever, and subscribe them to Stranger Still.
I got this new game. It's called Knowledge. Smile at them. Look them in the eyes.
Smile at them until they listen to it.
Yep.
Also, if you want to leave us a review somewhere that we have our podcast, that'd be so great of you.
Yeah, we got a new one this week.
We do, and it's from our friend, can you help me pronounce this? Anya K?
Yeah, Anya K.
Anya K. I knew I was going to get that wrong. She's our friend from the Health Files podcast.
Yep.
Which John really enjoys. I haven't listened to it yet, but I want to because John told me to.
But he's going to. Yeah, you've got really, really good research. She's really does her homework with it and makes sure that everything is well-versed and well-spoken for.
Yeah, and she left us a review. 5 stars. Thank you. Says, awesome! Somehow they made me listen to an episode about zombies, even though I don't care about zombies. Love the combination of history, science, jokes, silly sound effects, interesting facts, and unexpected turns in the conversation. Definitely subscribe if you haven't already. Anya, your friend from the Health Files podcast. So thank you.
She's a sweetheart. Thank you.
So if you want us to read your review on the show, go ahead, hop on over to iTunes, leave us any amount of stars. I really don't care, even though we're at 33 reviews with 5 stars. Not bragging or anything. And leave some sort of words, and we'll read them.
Yeah, preferably words that form sentences.
Yeah, that are intelligible and not written by my 1-year-old daughter. Because hers would be, blah, blah, na, 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 da, da, da.
I've heard her say that.
Mama! And then she'd point to her nose.
She likes
having
nose.
And you're supposed to say, nose! And then she'll point to your nose, and you're supposed to say, daddy's nose! And then she'll point to mommy's nose, and you say, mommy's nose! I got off topic. We have a listener question today from Delia B. on our Facebook page. I thought this was pretty good. She said, why do people hate being hairy?
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm sad to say I don't actually have an answer, but I thought it was a good thing for us to discuss. Because I'm a hairy guy. I got a lot of hair in places that most people would say is undesirable, like their chest or their back.
Okay.
And I honestly think it just comes down to societal norms. And I tried, Delia, I tried doing research on this. And there's not a lot out there as to, like, if there's any psychological reason. But ultimately, I would say it just comes down to culture.
Yeah, my thing on this was it came down to beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah,
to
culture's idea of beauty is what I'd say, yeah.
And to look younger, because younger people don't have as much hair.
Yeah, and there's always this obsession of youth and infinite youth. It's where we get the idea of the fountain of youth or elixirs of immortality and all that stuff.
Right.
Which I think is total BS, because I'm just like, yeah, I got hair. Who cares?
Well, here's my other thing on it.
Yeah.
It does come down to trends and things like beards come back into style or go out of style.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But beyond that, I think that we're evolving to have less and less hair from our ancestors.
It's possible. The thing that I did find in my research is that we didn't even start shaving parts of our, like, women didn't start shaving their armpits until, like, the 30s or something. Mm-hmm. Because before then, it was very risque to show that part of your arm. So there's no one was going to see it except for your husband, and he didn't care because you were probably forced to marry him. So... So no one was going to see it, so there's no reason to shave it.
Yeah, so but hairlessness is kind of a newer thing.
Yeah, so as sleeves became shorter, then it just became this women's practice to start shaving their arms. And the same thing with legs. Like, it was indecent for a very, very long time to wear anything but a skirt, and then those started getting shorter, and we had to start getting rid of that hair, too.
Right, and that goes for everyone involved. I mean, I know guys that do the same thing, shave their armpits or shave their arms and stuff like that, or wear skirts, and it's kind of like what their vision of beauty is and how you personally feel about it. But yeah,
so here's
it's a newer thing.
Yeah, here's my caveat to everyone out there, and this is a double standard within myself that I struggle with, which is you should never be ashamed of yourself. Like, who cares if you're hairy? It's you. Just be comfortable. But at the same time, if that's what makes you comfortable, then go ahead and do it. So yeah. I don't know how to resolve that.
No, that's the same thing with makeup.
Yeah.
Where people think, exactly, like, I don't want to wear makeup because I don't need it. Yeah. Or I want to wear makeup, but why do you need makeup? Because you're already pretty. Like,
well, yeah. Like, people are like, I like wearing makeup because it makes me feel good. I don't care what other people think about my makeup. I like putting it on because it makes me feel good.
You do you, boo.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't feel like you need it because you're beautiful anyway. But if it makes you feel good, then more power to you. It's so, I don't know. It's weird to me. I don't know how to deal with that.
But you don't have to. Yeah. Because it's not up to you.
It's up
to
them. Body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is up to you. But I don't want people to feel that pressure like they have to.
Yeah, raise your arms up and let your hair grow.
That was sound the effects. Sound of hair coming
pretty
down.
Good. I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.